Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
The St. Louis Rams select Michael Sam, defensive end.
It is all about football. It's about winning games and winning championships. And the St. Louis Rams want to win championships.
Yeah, there's going to be a little extra tension for a couple of days, but you know, I think Matt, you know, Michael's the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, you know, so that's important to us.
The voices of Mike Kensel, National Football League Vice President of Game Operations, announcing the 249th pick of the NFL Draft. They're in the seventh round. Michael Sam, the first openly gay, well, at the prospect for the NFL, he has been drafted. And then the voice of the Rams coach, the team that drafted him, Jeff Fisher, saying, look, this is about winning games and this is about a good player. It's not about having the first openly gay NFL player. Well, it's certainly news. It has pushed out much bigger news in the NFL draft. And, well, a lot of people are wondering, well, what does this mean for the Rams? What does it mean for the future of a career of a man who has made his mark before even entering professional sports as the first openly gay NFL football player? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 13th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We will be talking with Pastor George Borghardt about drafting a professional football player, professional football's first openly gay player. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us from the Ruth Institute. You might have seen this story about three married lesbians in Massachusetts. It's at the throuple, not a couple, a throuple. Three and couple make throuple. And they're planning on having children, one for each of the women in this marriage. We say marriage with quotes around there because in Massachusetts, it's still only legal for two people to get married. They're pressing the edge of the legal boundary, saying they are now three people getting married. How inevitable was that? Dr. Danny Faulkner will join us as we review episode 10 of the TV series Cosmos of Space-Time Odyssey, and then we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line to round off these 2 hours of Issues Etc. straight ahead. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the drafting of professional football's first openly gay player, Pastor George Borghardt. He's senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and president of the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. George, welcome back.
How's it going?
This is what you posted on Saturday night, I believe. You said, Michael Sam is brilliant. The Rams are going to not play or release him. To do so would make them what? What did you mean by that?
Intolerant. He's not going to be released, even though the Rams are defense heavy, even though he's the 247th player drafted, he's not going to be released. He has to play. He may be played sparingly, or he may be played a little bit, but our culture will not allow him not to play. Even if the Rams coach comes out and says, you know, it's about winning, and if he doesn't earn a spot, he's not going to be on the team. Come on. There's nobody else who had television cameras and national news crews waiting to be drafted in the seventh round. Nobody. Michael Sam. Because that's what our culture is. It's why his jersey is now the second most popular rookie's jersey right now. He hasn't even played. But our culture demands this. And anything less is intolerance, and that's the only sin in our world. It means he's in. He's going to be around. He's going to play. How much he plays, that's not that's going to be determined by him. The really sad thing about it, it's an excellent story. A Missouri player gets drafted by the Rams. I mean, how exciting for the state of Missouri. Co-SEC player of the defensive player of the year gets drafted. That's awesome. But now all that's just in the sideshow. None of that actually matters because what we have now is we would call equality, but it's really not. It's just homosexuality on display.
So you're saying here, George, that now that he's been drafted by the Rams, he will make the team. That is inevitable. How much he plays after that is another question, but you're saying he will make the team.
I just can't see him not. I mean, you can call me back, and if actually it doesn't happen, but they drafted him. Like, he's like, there's eight players to go after him that were drafted. I mean, it's and they're defense heavy. There's all these stories about whether he was going to be drafted or when he was going to be drafted by whom. There are stories today about how he should have been drafted earlier, and it was because of, you know, it's because of bigotry and intolerance that he wasn't drafted sooner. Well, no, he had a bad combine. He is probably an above average college prospect, but he has to play because this is what the world has to do. The world has to put this on display. We have to be told it's right, and pox on anybody who says otherwise. And it's just a freak show for us looking at it from in Christ. We look at it and we're like, why? But the world, this is the world's religion, and the only sin in the world right now is intolerance. That's the only sin. Now, the world can be intolerant about Christianity, but the only sin is to be intolerant about someone's alternate lifestyle. That is the only sin that the world recognizes. And to do so is just plain wrong. He'll be playing in the NFL.
So as a pastor looking at the culture, the kind of broader issue, George, what does it say to you that we have – it's been, let's see, the NBA had theirs a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. The NFL now has their first openly gay player. It seems as though every institution, be it entertainment, sports, whatever it is, has to have a first openly gay something. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. That's kind of the thing you do nowadays. What does it say to you as a pastor to see the culture move in that direction?
It's what we should expect. Our culture is degrading toward... well, I mean, you're about to have a triple couple. What'd you call it? A triple? Yeah, that was the coolest word I've ever heard. But I mean, we should expect the world to get worse and worse and worse, and we shouldn't be surprised by it. They field test things in the culture, and then it's full blown. First, it was a kiss on L.A. Law. You know, when I was growing up, a lesbian kiss on L.A. Law, and then it became, this is what's normal. It's just a matter of time before, you know, pedophilia is okay, and I mean, we should just, I mean, I don't mean to sound like, you know, the world is coming down. We should just be like, that's the world. That's what the world says. The world says, let us do what we want to do, and you must accept that it's right, because if you don't accept that it's right, then you're something wrong. You're wrong. Now, what we should say to the world is, okay, the same tolerance that you are asking for, you should grant to us when we say that our religion, which we have the freedom in America to believe, our religion says that this is wrong, this lifestyle is wrong, this lifestyle is contrary to what we believe. We believe it's a destructive lifestyle, and it shouldn't be emulated. There was a Miami player who tweeted right afterwards. He sort of, the spectacle got him. You know, here's the 247th player picked, and there's the kiss, and there's all the press, and everybody's like, ooh, look how wonderful we are as a culture. And he was just like, really? And he got fined. Because the only sin is to be intolerant. Now, intolerance against other cultures and ethnic groups is terribly wrong. There's no place for that in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor freedman in our baptism. But when we start crossing into sin, well, we should, in the faith of Jesus, say, okay, no, that is not a lifestyle that we need to emulate. We need to teach our children. Although the world tells you that you should be, that you should embrace this any lifestyle, run from that. be understand that our morality is not determined inside of us, because if it was, then we would allow anything to go. Our morality is determined by what the sacred scriptures say, what the Lord says, and we get that from Calvary. I mean, this world degrading business is something we should expect, but we should sort of mourn our culture degrading and sort of run and find our identity not in what we're allowed to do. Michael Sam's never going to be known for being a great football player. I hope he is. I hope he's a spectacular football player. I hope he's as good as good can be. But his identifying marker right now is that he's a gay football player. That's kind of sad. We should have our identity determined not by whether we're tolerant or intolerant, but by our baptisms. We are in Christ. That determines who we are. That determines how we view the universe. What is right and what is wrong is for us determined by the one who died and rose again for us. That is our faith. The world can tolerate anything other than that.
What do you think about this? Because you work fairly constantly and have for the better part of the last decade or so with our church's youth, and maybe my perception is jaded or I'm cynical, but it seems to me that people under 20 years old on an issue like this are pretty apathetic. They just don't care. They say whatever. If he wants to be the first openly gay football player, that's fine. On the whole issue of homosexuality, the red flag, so to speak, of this issue doesn't rise very high for them.
Well, we are conditioned. We've been conditioned from our even you and I were conditioned in school that to be intolerant of other cultures is wrong. It's wrong. In college, when I was in college, what was added was different lifestyles. And a whole generation or two have been taught, you do not say anything bad about another culture, you do not say anything bad about another lifestyle choice. And so our youth really struggle with, okay, the world tells me that homosexuality is okay, even sort of sort of promoting it to girls can get guys going by sort of lesbian moments. Guys are sort of encouraged to pursue alternate lifestyles. And we need to simply say, okay, that is not who you are. Who you are is determined by your baptism, that you are in the faith of Jesus. And that means that the determining factor on what is right and what is wrong is not determined by you, but by God in Christ, who gave his life for you. And so we find our identity in Christ. We also find who we are and how we view the world from Christ, not from what the world does. But it's a very difficult thing. And the answer is not law pounding that homosexuality is wrong. The answer is the gospel. Jesus Christ died for the sin of the world. That enlivening word will free us from the slavery of the world's intolerance. And we'll start to see the world again the way the scriptures say it, that some things are just not right. They're evil. Whether or not the world accepts it or not, they're evil. And that is the cure for it. The cure is not, because the world is conditioned it. Oh, the religions of Christianity say this is wrong and blah, blah, blah. It's all intolerant. It's all antiquated. No. We're going to run back to the gospel, the crucified Christ, the one who died and rose again. That faith, in that love, we see what is right and what is wrong. And that rescues us from the slavery of, well, I can't say something against that because that would be intolerant.
You used a word there, George, that probably if people's intolerance alarms were set, would have set them all buzzing at once. You used the word
slavery.
Evil.
Yeah.
And people will say, look, I understand what you're saying there, but it doesn't look evil. Michael Sam doesn't look evil. He looks like, and I've seen interviews with him, he seems like the nicest, one of the most affable guys compared to a lot of guys who already in college and then headed toward the NFL, the kind of men that sometimes end up getting paid the millions of dollars. He seems like a schoolboy. Doesn't look like evil.
All right. Evil isn't determined by what I view as evil or not, because that is beginning, that continues to change. that it's as we watch every culture in the history of man has degraded every single one. Greece, Rome, Europe, us, we begin to degrade. And so we're not going to determine our culture and what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's evil based upon what we view as good and evil. Something outside of us has to do that. And that something is the guy who died and rose again. That someone is the guy who died and rose again. So we should be... Michael's a good guy in the sense that he seems to be very clean. And our judgment is not about his it's not a judgment based upon externals. It's just simply saying, hey, listen, our religion says that that lifestyle is wrong. Our religion also says that rampant heterosexuality outside the bounds of marriage is wrong, too, which, you know, our babies outside of wedlock, not helpful. Our religion says that. So we're not just targeting one thing. The law casts its light on everybody. But on this one, we would just simply sort of pause and say, Michael, be known for being a good football player. Be known for being a pillar of your community. Don't be known for something that I dare say the faith of your birth, the faith of Christ says is wrong. Don't be known for that. Be known for being a great football player. Don't be known for a lifestyle choice. The same with us. We should not be known for the good that we do or the bad that we do, because our good will never outweigh our bad. We should be known. Let it be known among us that we believe that Christ died and rose again for the sin of the world, and that is our identifying marker. I hope that's what's known of me after I'm long gone. I hope that's what's known of my children, is that Christ died and rose again, not something that they do or say, or certainly something that they go that is acceptable by the world.
Pastor George Borghardt is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's president of the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. By the way, you can watch a short video hosted by Pastor Borghardt titled Michael Sam and Baptismal Identity at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and you'll also find a link to Higher Things as well. George, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. This is a story that, well, who is surprised? I'm not surprised. I don't think Dr. Morse is surprised. After saying that marriage now can be between a woman and a woman and a man and a man, it was only a matter of time, and look how little time it was before someone said, let's test the boundaries. How about not just two women or two men? How about three women? So there's a throuple, a threefold couple in Massachusetts. They say they're married. We'll find out what the story is and what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse thinks about it on the other side of the break.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at IssuesETC.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. 1-800-325-3040.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.